Hello and welcome to Talking.Golf on Wisconsin.Golf. Talking.Golf is a weekly podcast featuring Gary D'Amato and Rob Hernandez. And now, talking all things golf in Wisconsin, here's Gary and Rob. Talking.Golf is sponsored by Iron Jock, our most comfortable sponsor yet. Why is that? Iron Jock is advanced performance gear that infuses pure silver into every piece of apparel through a process called silver ion technology. This technology kills 99.9% of the bacteria and fungus caused when you sweat, and it does that for the lifetime of the gear. No other brand offers this world-class antimicrobial protection, comfort, and performance. Join Iron Jock Nation and get yours at ironjock.com. That's ironjoc.com. We welcome you to Talking.Golf and our What's Up segment to kick things off. Our What's Up segment powered by our Instagram page at wis.golf. And I welcome in Gary D'Amato. Gary, it isn't the kind of weather that where your Iron Jock apparel is going to where you're going to sweat through it. Maybe if you're wearing 1, 2, 3 layers on top of it, maybe you're protected that way. But I think there's still a need to make sure we keep our Iron Jock apparel in fine working order, because the golf season is not over.
The golf season never over, Rob. Maybe for 2 weeks in January it's over. But other than that, you know, it's supposed to get up to 50 again for a day or two next week. So I played Grant Park a few days ago. It was 45 degrees and very pleasant. And yeah, there's always time and a place to play golf, unless there's a lot of snow on the ground, in my opinion.
Well, so you'll like this. We've gotten busy with some other things here, other projects, and I haven't been as diligent about updating the course closings list. So what you're about to hear is actually, you know, for our purposes, breaking news. Farview Golf Course, Gary in Oshkosh, is taking tee times for Saturday from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. So that's one side of the equation. The other side, Edelweiss Chalet Country Club in New Glarus, will close for the season at the end of the day Friday, the day that we're recording the podcast. So they're done in New Glarus. And then I always love looking at the Facebook page for Rolling Meadows Golf Course in Final Act, because they soldier on. They will not close until they absolutely have to, which means, Gary, until we have to snow blow, I'm guessing, there's always a chance that you can tee it up at Rolling Meadows and Fond du Lac. So, again, I think a lot of the courses around the state are like that. And certainly in the southern part of the state, they've been a little bit slow to close, but I'm seeing more and more start to trickle in from anywhere south of Portage.
It's funny, Rob. When I played Grant the other day, I took a picture of the parking lot, because there were probably 70 cars in the parking lot, and wow. I posted it on Twitter and just got a ton of reaction from people. Someone said, is there some kind of event there, or is this golfers playing a course? I said, it's golfers, man. It's Wisconsin.
It is. Well, you got a lot of reaction this week, because as we wind down the 2021 golf season, we've already started to look ahead to 2022, and you had the story that had absolutely everybody talking, and that was Century World's announcement that not only they're going to reopen in 2022, Gary, but they're going to reopen with an all-inclusive greens fee. I know that term all-inclusive on cruises and things to Mexico and vacations in warmer climates, but I've never heard it used for an all-inclusive green fee, and boy, you had some people who like to have a few beers on during the round. You know, their eyes lit up. You've got people who like to kind of belly up to the buffets. Their eyes lit up. What's all included in this greens fee? And describe the reaction you've gotten from this.
Yeah, well, first of all, what's all included, Rob, is everything. You pay. Now they've raised the rate $100 over their 2019 rate. People might know they haven't been open basically for the last 2 years because of COVID and then construction of their new hotel. They didn't want that to interfere with play on the course. It's adjacent to the 18th fairway. It was supposed to open in August, but they ran into some supply chain issues with finishing construction. So they just decided to stay closed. So they raised the rate from 175 for the general public to 275. It's a big jump. And, a lot of people questioned, on social media, whether the all-inclusive part is worth that $100. And, you know, you can debate that, but what's included Rob, is your green fee, your cart, your range balls, and they have two. They're going to build two refreshment stations between 1 and 10 and 3 and 13. So you pass those stations four times and you're on the golf. And you can go in there and order anything you want to eat and drink, and as much as you want, as much as you can stuff into your cart and your golf bag, I guess. So they're going to have a bars in both of them with bartenders on duty. They're going to have chefs, and they're going to have hot, you know, hot sandwiches of the day and all the snacks you want. So you put your, you know, you pay for your round of golf, you put your wallet in your golf bag or your glove box or wherever, and you never have to bring it out again, including tips. They won't be accepting tips in those refreshment stands. So no tipping. You pay that $2.75, off you go, and you never pay for anything again.
Wow.
Except if you lose your $2 Nassau, then you have to pull your wallet out.
The bets aren't included. I love it.
Right.
Do we know what's on the menu? Can I satisfy my cheese curd fix in one round of golf? Because I'm guessing if I could eat all the cheese curds I could possibly eat, I wouldn't eat them again in a trip back to Wisconsin.
You know, Rob, it's the only time you might play golf where you swing a club 80 times or 90 times and wind up putting on weight during the round of golf because you're eating so much. You know, it's going to be locally curated foods. I think it's going to be a Wisconsin-centric sort of theme. So I bet cheese curds are going to be on the menu, if not daily, then, you know, for specials. They're going to have hot sandwich specials and then, you know, grab and go stuff, cold sandwiches, all the snacks you could want, you know, soft drinks, beer, Bloody Marys, or stronger alcohol, whatever you want, whatever your heart's desire, Rob.
Now, it finally hit me as you were talking there, Gary, the other part of your story that makes total sense now. Did I read that they're also going to 20-minute tee times? They might need to go to hour tee times, because if I'm out there on the course, I'm putting my feet up in the cart and eating is in between holes.
Yeah, you know, not too many places can really afford to do 20-minute tee time intervals. Century World is a place owned by, obviously, an insurance company, Century Insurance. They don't have to try to push 200 players a day through their golf course and you know, worry about the bottom line and, you know, are we making enough money to pay for our fertilizer this year? That's not the case up there. So they want this to be an immersive golf experience where you tee off. There's nobody ahead of you for two holes, one and a half. There's nobody behind you for a hole and a half. And you feel like you're alone on the golf course. And that's going to help pace of play, obviously. You're going to should be able to play in under 4 hours. But we all know sometimes, even with 20-minute tee times, there's going to be some turtle out there that's going to put a fly in the ointment.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I find it fascinating, Gary, in the stories that you and Dennis have written here the last couple of years, on some of these trends, especially in upscale golf. One action draws a reaction from the others. And of course, you know, Century World, Black Wolf Run, Whistling Straits, Erin Hills, Sands Valley, just Trapper's Turn, Wild Rock, you know, the Dells courses, you know, even courses in the Door Peninsula, in the Northwoods, you know, they see what each other does. And I think, you know, the most recent ones have been, you know, first, I think, you know, the courses that started using caddies again, I think it really triggered a big boom in the use of caddies. But then the one in the last couple of years at Erin Hills, Sand Valley especially, and of course, Black Wolf Run's always had a lodging accommodations attached to it. But, you know, the on-site accommodations, you know, you mentioned the hotel at Central World. It just seems like, you know, everybody in Trappers for a while was talking about putting one up near their driving range. You know, it seems as though a lot of these things, these great ideas, we start to see elsewhere. Do you think this one will have traction throughout some of the other upscale experiences in Wisconsin?
You know, that's a really good question. I'm sure that, you know, all the general managers and owners of the upscale courses are going to take a close look at what Century World does. It's got to make sense to the bottom line. And at, you know, at Century World, they decided it from a business sense that it does make sense. Might not make sense for everybody. But I wouldn't doubt if other people try this, especially if they see it, that it's a huge success at Century World and people are raving about it. Yeah, there are people, I'm sure, who are going to copy it or at least elements of it going forward.
And let's face it, Gary, you don't have to put prime rib in a trough for people to feel that they're getting a good deal by eating, you know, in addition to their green cheese. But I mean, when I played out in Palm Springs a couple of years ago at the old Palm Springs Municipal, it's now changed names, you know, they had a deal going where they had a very simple, you know, kind of a sandwich bar, sandwich and salad bar that, you know, was included in the green fee. And that was, you know, something that could have been replicated any golf course in America. And, you know, I think everybody likes to get a deal. They always want to see if, you know, how far their dollar can stretch. And, you know, so I think that's a fascinating idea. I think it could, you know, even be applied in much simpler fashion at, you know, even your local, you know, municipal course, you know, Milwaukee County. I could, you know, the good food that we get, you know, when we play at Brown Deer Park, or, you know, the burger at Janesville Riverside, for example, is one of the best that I've ever had in golf. And it'd be kind of cool if that was included in the green fee, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, you're right, Rob. I think, you know, and some places do things like that or similar things. I'm always struck by the, when I played Eagle Springs Resort, the little 9-hole course near Mequonegal. I was talking to the owner at the time, Mike Boland, who no longer owns the course, but he was saying that he had a, I think it was like $12 or $13 to play the 9-hole course. And you got a voucher. They didn't serve food there, but you got a voucher for a fish fry at one of the area restaurants. There were 6 or 7 restaurants that were partners with Eagle Springs on this. So, you know, $13 to play golf and you get a free fish fry. And some guy came in and said, does that include the cart? It's like why don't you just give your golf away? But right. Yeah, but I think you're right, Rob. I think this will, you know, other people will sit up and take notice what they're doing, and it may be copied at other places.
Well, I can remember when I thought it was pretty cool when the Palmer course at Geneva National was giving out Arnold Palmer's on the first tee. We've come a long way, Gary. We've come a long way. And yeah. and not only have we come a long way, you talked about the cost of playing at Century World. We have a great story on the website. Unintended, actually, folks. That I promise you, this wasn't planning. It was pure coincidence. But on the heels of Gary D'Amato writing about the increase in green fees for good reasons up at Century World, Gary Van Sickle, our contributing columnist, the former Milwaukee Journal golf writer, weighs in today with a column that he found a story he wrote back in 1988 while at the Milwaukee Journal about the cost of golf and how it was going up, Gary. It was going up, and are you sitting down? It was going to cost $51. My God, to play Black Wolf Run and Kohler. Who would pay $51 to play golf in the state of Wisconsin? Well, we've come a long way there too. I guess I was curious your thoughts on Gary Van Sickle's column, because it doesn't seem that long ago we were paying a very modest sum to play some pretty darn good golf courses.
Yeah, Rob. You know, Gary does a great job with those kind of stories. He's got a sharp wit and a good sense of humor, and it's always fun to read his columns. And I remember, you know, this is junior golf, but I remember playing a buck and a quarter to play Grant Park as a kid, you know, 16 years old. And the other day I went and played 9 holes walking for $14, which is a winter senior rate. So, you know, rates have gone up as everything, you know, gas was 90 cents a gallon too back then. But yeah, Gary's story is a lot of fun. And I remember hearing about Mr. Kohler when he pitched, you know, his $45 green fee or whatever it was, $50 when they opened. And his closest advisors and some people who knew about golf said, Herb, no one's ever going to pay $50 to play golf. You know, people in Wisconsin just won't do it. And now there's, I don't know, 25 courses in the state that are $50 or more.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And worth it. That's the thing too. You look at, you know, whether it's Troy Burton Hudson or University Ridge in Verona, you know, it just, the Springs, the House on the Rock Resort out in Spring Green commanded a pretty good rate as they continue to improve. And then the Wisconsin Dells courses have kind of upped the ante too. It's been fun. Cause I always love seeing the reaction to these kind of stories. Somebody mentioned on a Facebook comment on Gary Van Sickle's story that they can remember playing Black Wolf Run for free because they bought 3 dozen golf balls from MaxFly. And MaxFly had a promotion, and I did it. I bought the 3 dozen MaxFly golf balls, and I might still have a dozen somewhere in my trough of golf balls. But you got a voucher to play in, you know, the course of your choosing. And I chose Black Wolf Run, went up there, used the certificate. I think you could have played the old Country Club at Wisconsin, now Fire Ridge and Grafton. There were a number of really good courses. Central might have been on the list, but I had never played, you know, Black Wolf Run unless it was a media day. So I said, I want to go back there. And it was, you know, again, a very unique golf course at the time that this promotion was going. And now you've got, you know, all these different golf packages with the, you know, the tours and whether it be the Bucky Book in the Madison area. There's a lot of ways you can reduce your green fees, but, you know, right now it's kind of, the golf course owners are in the catbird seat because they can pretty much charge what they want. And they're going to fill their tee sheets. Thanks to the pandemic, we've seen that boom come back, and I don't see prices going down anytime soon.
No, I think you're right, Robbie. You know, tee sheets have been filled. I mean, I just the other day at Grant, you know, probably 100 people played the course in the middle of November on a 45 degree day. So golf has come roaring back. You know, there are questions as how sustainable is it? Are people going to keep playing? But owners have not had to do the discounting and the drastic discounting that they hated doing, but they had to do in the past to get people to play golf on a Tuesday or a Wednesday. You had to slash your green fees. Well, they don't have to do that anymore. Or at least, you know, for the last year and a half, they haven't. And we'll see if they have to do it, you know, 2 or 3 years down the road.
Well, we'll continue to monitor the cost of golf in Wisconsin as we go into 2022. Again, courses just starting to close across the southern part of the state. Many of the courses north of Portage have been closed now for a couple of weeks, but it won't be long, and they'll start posting their green fees to their websites, and we'll continue to monitor that and kind of collect the same kind of data that Gary Van Sickle referred to in that column, which you can find today on wisconsin.golf. You are listening to Talking.Golf. Again, Talking.Golf sponsored by Iron Jock, our most comfortable sponsor yet. They have that pure silver technology that advanced performance gear that infuses pure silver into every piece of apparel. It's the technology is called silver ion technology, and it kills 99.9% of the bacteria and fungus causing you sweat. Great for golf shirts that they produce, and you can see all of their selection at ironjock.com. That's ironjoc.com. On to what's next, powered by our Twitter results handle at wis.golflive. And we've had a few results here this week on that Twitter handle that, of course, anytime we post results to wisconsin.golf, they get pushed out to at wis.golflive. And last week, Sam Anderson, I think when we were doing the podcast, still had 9 holes to go to earn conditional status on the PGA Tour Latino America. He did that. He actually came within 1 spot of earning starts in 50% of their events, but traditionally conditional status on PGA Tour Latino America gets you a number of starts to make it worthwhile. This week, the PGA Tour Champions hopefuls have begun their quest for status. And Mario Tiziani this morning, Gary, got through, shot a 2 under par 70. He shot 432 on the front nine and was able to coast in from there. And he finished T7 at the qualifier down in Florida. And so he is on to the final stage. We're still awaiting word on the qualifier out here in California at Prim Valley, right on the Nevada-California border, where Michael Crowley and Ben Walter, Michael, the club pro at Morningstar Golf, Golfers Club in Waukesha, and Ben, the former Badger golfer, currently working as a realtor down by me in the Scottsdale area, and they are right on that bubble. We think the top 17 will get through to the final stage. They have 3 sites for the first stage. And so we're still awaiting the results on those. We'll post those as soon as we get them. But Gary, it's kind of fun to see this week, three very different stories. Mario Tiziani picked up the clubs, had a very successful summer. Ben Walter, kind of the same, turned 50 and entered the Wisconsin State Open again, a former champion. And then Michael Crowley, a club pro who's had great success in the section this year, has kind of found the magic touch at age 50.
Yeah, I was just, while you were talking, Rob, I was trying to think of how many club professionals from Wisconsin have had some status on PGA Tour Champions. I can think of Bobby Brew way back when, but he, you know, he was at least a part-time player on the PGA Tour for a number of years too. And then of course was a head club professional in Wisconsin, but I can't think of too many. I can't think other than Bobby of, has anyone had status on the from our state on the PGA Tour Champions? I don't think so.
No, not at all. Right. And Bobby and Michael would be pretty similar stories, because until Bobby Brew turned 50, he had not competed on stages the likes of what was then the Senior Tour. And And then, you know, between competing and then, of course, Bobby with his trick show act that got him a number of sponsors exemptions, that helped him, yeah. you know, fight the game within a game. I mean, it's one thing to get through it, and it's one thing, it's great, you know, when you get through this first stage, but I believe there's only, you know, like 5 or 6 spots at the final stage that get onto the PGA Tour champions simply because we're talking about, I think they're going to go back to a 78-player field again next year. It was 81 this year because of COVID. But, you know, they have not budged on that, and they've done that for a reason. They want to make sure that the quality of the field is preserved and that the true champions that they're seeking to, you know, to extend the careers of, you know, are the guys that are out there. They don't want 156 guys, half of which you won't know. It makes for a very quick day on the golf course when you're out there spectating, playing, and it makes it kind of, you know, it incentivizes the guys who are out there to play well and play every week. And that's really what they've gotten. I think it's been a good model.
Yeah, I would agree, Rob. And it shows how hard it is to get out there and stay out there. When you look at a guy like Skip Kendall, who never won on the PGA Tour, but lost 4 or 5 playoffs, made, I don't know, 250, 300 cuts on the PGA Tour, made a lot of money, had a lot of top 10 finishes, led a British Open. And he's had trouble maintaining status on the PGA Tour champions, and in fact I believe he's in a qualifier right coming up.
He'll be though at the one, I believe it's in 2 weeks. I think they're taking Thanksgiving off for the last of the 3 first stage qualifiers, so it'll be Skip Kendall and then another guy with an interesting story, Tim Cantwell Jr., former state amateur champion in Wisconsin, who spent the last couple decades down in the Palm Beach area, and then Kelly Berger, who I would characterize as a journeyman Monday qualifier. And Kelly out of Mosinee has been in a number of you know, pre-qualifiers for PGA Tour events and Korn Ferry Tour events, and then also has tried to go through the various qualifying schools without success, but given another shot this week in a week or two. So again, you get a lot of different people. In fact, I stumbled across the fact that there's 2 different Patrick Sheehans, one at each of the spots this week. We know one of the Patrick Sheehans is a former college teammate of Jerry Kelly at the University of Hartford, but now we're getting guys with duplicate names, Gary. It's like the roster at Alabama, for gosh sakes.
Well, we need to hire a couple more Rob Hernandezes at Killarney Golf Media, Rob. The more the merrier of Rob, I say.
That's right. We've got a couple Gary D'Amato's, a couple Rob Hernandezes, a couple Dennis McCanns, and we'll be able to crank out stories every hour on the hour. Mario Pizziani, right. By the way, with the it was a 200 par 70, so 281. If you ever wonder what it takes to get through the first stage of PGA Tour Champions qualifying, today it's looking like 3 under will play off for one of the final spots, a 285 total. So a little margin of error there. As I said, no margin of error come next month when they go to the final stage back down in Florida. I believe Orange County National in Orlando. Off season now in professional golf, Jerry Kelly, very much looking forward to it. Since we talked last, Gary, he wrapped up a 5th place showing on the Charles Schwab Cup final standings. You know, didn't quite have the weekend he was hoping for at Phoenix Country Club, but Carroll Kelly did get out to watch both of the final rounds, walked the front 9 on Saturday and then the back 9 on Sunday, and then they called it a season. So, you know, as you sift through the results, the big news was that Carol looked great, and now they get a chance to kind of focus in on her health with the battling back from the surgery to remove a cancerous right kidney and do all the things they need to do to make sure that they can continue to have a happy life together, which at the end of the day is what matters the most, I'd have to say.
Yeah, you have to put things in perspective, I'm sure. From just strictly a golf standpoint, Jerry was probably a little disappointed over the way the last month of the season went for him when he had a chance to win the Charles Schwab Cup. But put things in perspective and look at what's really important. And we're so glad that Carol, you know, has come through this and the future is looking very bright, a very good prognosis. So good reporting on that story, Rob, and happy for Jerry and Carol and their family.
And then Phil Mickelson wins the Charles Schwab Cup Championship in his collegiate hometown of Phoenix and had a huge gallery by PGA Tour champion standards throughout the weekend. And then Bernhard Langen wins the overall title. I don't think the PGA Tour champions could have asked for a better combination of tournament winner and overall winner. It shows the variance. You've got a guy who's, what, 51 in Phil Mickelson, and then Bernhard Langer winning the overall title at age 64. It just shows that you keep your body in shape, Gary. You got a lot of great years in the golden years.
Yeah, I'm afraid that the horse is out of the barn for me on that one, Rob. But you know, the point on Bernhard Langer, has there ever been a better senior athlete in any sport? I mean, the guy's 64 years old and he's still winning tournaments, for crying out loud.
And as I mentioned last week, he looked crippled when I saw him on Thursday and Friday at you know, as he was passing by Jerry, you know, on different holes, and then he goes out, I think it was on Saturday's round, and shoots a 63, so he bettered his age. And he called it one of the greatest achievements in his golf career because he still was not at 100%. And for a guy to not be 100% and shoot 63 on that course, you know, you hit fairways and greens, it can be pretty easy, but you still have to make the putts, and he did it. And played well enough to finish the tournament. If he hadn't finished, I think Jim Furyk would have won the overall title. So you had to play to finish, and you had to finish to win the overall. And again, he is a marvel. And it just, again, it speaks well for the game of golf when you can have a guy 64 years old still doing what Bernhard Langer is doing. Gary, as we look ahead to the 2022 golf season, it includes a state amateur that'll be contested at Sand Valley. One of the guys that we followed in the state am this last year at Westmore Country Club in Brookfield, who challenged Pearson Hutt down the stretch, was Adam Garski out of Wauwatosa. You know, Adam and Pearson played off at the year that Pearson won his second state high school championship. And last week, Adam wins the National Collegiate Club Golf Association. That's a mouthful. National championship out at Hilton Head Island, South Carolina, and did so for the UW-Milwaukee club team. I've always maintained that the Marquette University would mop up if they could start a women's golf program that would be even half as successful as the one Steve Bailey has on the men's side. And then why UW-Milwaukee doesn't have a golf team for either gender in the city of Milwaukee with as many great golf courses they have down there is beyond me. Adam Garski kind of maybe sounded the gong for that one by winning last week, but Adam's got a lot of game, and I see Adam as being maybe your next Bob Gregorski, your next lifetime career amateur.
Yeah, he does have a lot of game, and we talked to him at the State Am last year, and he started using those guys as a model. He's still young, obviously, in college, and he could be, you know, when he gets to the mid-am stage, he's not 25 yet, is he?
No, he's only like 20, 21, maybe.
20, yeah. So, I mean, when he gets to the mid-am stage, he could, you know, he could be a force to be reckoned with at the 25 and over playing in mid-am events. So, yeah, I think he's going to be, you know, hopefully around and good for a long time.
And speaking of the state amateur, when the course is set up, it was a tough course set up last year at Westmore Country Club, but the guy who set up last year, no longer with the staff, Bill Linneman, left, as did his wife, resigning late in the season, and Jeff Perkel, it looks like getting promoted, but Gary, you wrote about it in the Sweet Spot last week. We haven't seen very many staff changes at the WSGA. It's an indication of the way that the organization is run and how happy the people are that work there. But we've got a posting, and it kind of takes the place of what Bill and Amy, you know, their roles with the association previously.
Yeah, you know, Jeff Perkel was, I didn't know this until Rob Jansen told me for that story, but he was promoted recently to basically to replace Bill as director of rules and turn competition. So Jeff will be in charge, I think, you know, of most of the course setup stuff, but it'll be Thomas Fosdick and the new person they hire as tournament management who will, you know, be managing all the tournaments in the state, sort of working with Jeff, but I guess under him. And, you know, Bill Linneman learned from Gene Haas, and Jeff has learned from Bill. So you would think that the course setups, you know, would be kind of similar. I'm sure they follow the same philosophy. But Rob, you mentioned the state am next year at Sand Valley, and I just got off the phone before the podcast with Mike Carboner, the new GM. It's relatively new. He's been there a year and some months now. But up at Sand Valley, we were talking about the state am, and he is. They are going to play both courses, Mammoth Dunes and Sand Valley. You know, a qualifying round, everyone will play one of the first round at Sand Valley and the second round at Mammoth Dunes or vice versa. And then they'll finish the last 36 holes on the Sand Valley course. So that's going to be fun to see how Jeff and Thomas and whoever they hire, you know, will set up those two courses.
Well, that is breaking news, and that's something that they've tried for the State Open. Obviously, the last three years between the Geneva National and then this past year, utilizing Pine Hills and Black Wolf Run. But boy, what a new concept for the State Amateur! Have we heard whether they might expand the field, or are they just going to, you know, go with the traditional? What is it? Usually a 156, right?
Yeah, I think they're going to keep it at 156, but they're going to utilize both courses for the first two rounds before the cut. And then just go to Sand Valley, the original Sand Valley course, for the final two rounds. So that's going to be really interesting. They're two very different golf courses, Rob. And I think, you know, it's going to be fun for the guys who qualify and play there, because I think they're going to work out a deal. They have plenty of lodging there. So people in the field will have the option of staying, you know, right there in one of the cottages and getting up and walking out to the practice range in the first tee. It's going to be a cool setup for the State Am.
Have we got our cottage yet?
I haven't reserved it yet, but I will put in a word for us.
We'll have to.
You bring the nachos and beer and soda, okay?
That's right. Well, Jim Kelch will fire up the grill after each round while we're writing our stories, right?
Right.
Yeah, that would be good. That would be good. Well, boy, we talked about it before we came on the air, Gary. And actually, I got a text from Megan Augustine, our Instagrammer, and our social media and marketing person, you know, asking about, you know, normally we take a break with the podcast. It's getting hard to take breaks in the golf season anymore. And you talked about how this, you thought maybe the sweet spot would be, you know, kind of winding down a little bit here in the off season, but I don't want to, you know, spoiler alert anything for Monday, but it's going to be jam packed again. You tell me.
It is. Yeah, it is going to be jam packed. Yeah. Every time the sweet spot runs on Monday and I start thinking about the following Monday, I'm worried that I won't have anything to put in it. And by Friday, Rob, I have, you know, 10 or 12 pretty good little nuggets, and I'm figuring out which one or two I can cut. And maybe I just run them all from now on, you know, because it can go long. It's the internet, right? We're not going to break the internet with a long sweet spot. Yeah. But yeah, we'll have some interesting stuff in there on Monday again. It'll be fun.
Well, that'll be great. And one other thing we didn't get to from last week was Troon Golf is going to manage Eau Claire Golf and Country Club. And that's the third private club in Wisconsin now under their charge. And that's good. And then last but not least, Gary, the one that really caught my attention, because my legs have felt the findings of this survey, but Erin Hills and Whistling Straits were, according to LinksMagazine.com, among the five toughest golf courses to walk in the U.S. The other three, Pikewood National in Morgantown, West Virginia, Bethpage Black in Farmingdale, New York, and Chambers Bay in University Place, Washington. Every time, especially Erin Hills, when I walk off the course and go into the clubhouse to have a beverage or two, it's hard to get up after that.
I'll tell you, Rob, I blame my poor tee shots on number three. Every time I play Erin Hills on that walk up from the second green to the third tee, I get up there and I'm huffing and puffing, then I have to hit a tee shot. It's a tough course to walk, especially on a hot day. But if you have a caddy, you know, very manageable. And I always have fun when I play Erin Hills. It's such a fun place to go.
Well, I tell you, at least we have the off season now to rest up for any opportunities we get to play either of those courses or some of the other great walking courses in Wisconsin, because we, as we mentioned at the outset, we've got a bunch of them, and I can't wait to maybe give you and me and Mike Davis, and maybe we'll bring Jim Kelch along next year for a round at Center World and see who can eat the most cheese curds. How does that sound?
That sounds good, Rob. I bet I win, though.
The challenge is on, folks. The challenge is on. Gary, appreciate the time this week on Talking.Golf. We'll do it again next week.
Thanks, Rob.
All right. Talking.Golf, sponsored by Iron Jock, our most comfortable sponsor yet. Iron Jock is advanced performance gear that infuses pure silver into every piece of apparel through a process called silver ion technology. That technology kills 99.9% of the bacteria and fungus caused when you sweat, and it does that for the lifetime of the gear. No other brand offers this world-class antimicrobial protection, comfort, and performance. We invite you to join Iron Jock Nation and get yours at ironjock.com. That's ironjoc.com. For Gary, I'm Rob. We'll talk golf again next week.